CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast for Sunday, October the 5th, 2008. I am one of your hosts, Nick Paleo, otherwise known as BA Penguin, and I'm joined by another esteemed guest tonight.
Hey, I'm Mike Katsoufrakis, the man with the most unpronounceable name in the gaming industry.
It really is. Not only is your last name difficult, but your alias for Ryanoth takes quite a bit of practice to say.
Yeah, well, living 26 years with a name that no one can pronounce makes one a little bitter, and I like to reflect my pain on others.
Hey, Paleo isn't the easiest name to pronounce. I've gotten called Pulio for most of my life, so I feel your pain.
Oh, well, at least it's short.
One good thing, though, about a new project that we're working on is we're trying to give ourselves more face time and stop hiding behind that alias, and that's over at the Colony of Gamers. And, you know, one of the things we're doing over there is actually posting under our real names. Shocking.
Yeah, it's a nice little bit of transparency to see just, what kind of crazy names people have behind their alias. And, it's a little bit of an air of professionalism, if you ask me, but some people are a little confused.
Yeah, it definitely takes some getting used to, but I dig it, especially after going to PAX and meeting everybody, and you kind of did that half-real name thing, half-alias thing, so.
Yeah, everybody seems to call me Mike in all the threads over there, so it's, I think people are going to catch on to it after a while.
Definitely. So yeah, Colony of Gamers. It's a brand new thing that CoOptimus is proud to be part of. It's not only a site, it's also going to be a network of sites. We have everything from PC gaming and comic podcasts and general gaming podcasts and user reviews. And we might be bringing on a few other sites shortly that have some unique offerings as well. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what we end up doing with it as well. It's obviously in its infancy as it stands right now, but people seem to have taken to it pretty well, and I'm pretty excited for what we can do with it.
Definitely. So, CoOptimus, I'm still going to be focusing on CoOptimus and growing the site, making it the best as it can. I have a lot of good plans for things to add features and stuff. Our primary focus is cooperative gaming, and we're going to do our best to promote co-op gaming. We're going to do our best to make sure developers know what we want in our co-op gaming experience and everything that goes along with it. So, one of the things that we're doing monthly right now is an Xbox Live co-op night. That is partnered with Microsoft, and I hope eventually we can get Sony on board to do something similar. Coming down from the top like that, from the major publishers, we'll really be able to get the word out about what everybody needs in their co-op experience, I think.
Yeah, it'll be great to have a legitimized co-op session on the PlayStation platform instead of us just having to use the Xbox 360's community features to go through it.
Yeah, I mean, there's two really big co-op games coming out on the PlayStation 3 this fall. That's Resistance 2, that has an 8-player co-op mode, and Little Big Planet, which is a 4-player co-op. So I think both of those, are really big ones that we can kind of partner with Sony on and say, hey, you got these great co-op things, why not promote it on the best co-op site on the internet?
Well, they would be fools to not team up with us, let's just put it that way.
Definitely, definitely. So yeah, co-op is in the news lately, and speaking of both Little Big Planet and other big co-op games like Fable 2, they've both had their co-op mode delayed. Well,
Online portion.
Yeah, let's clarify that. In the case of Little Big Planet, there is a content creation feature in it where you can play with other people and build levels at the same time. And the online version of that in Little Big Planet isn't going to be available at launch.
And that's really unfortunate because, as far as I am concerned, that is the primary draw to playing that game. And as PS3 owners are a little further spread out than 360 owners, it's kind of disappointing that we can't connect to our friends list and take care of that, because I only know one other person that I would bring over to have a local co-op session in that game, but I have plenty that I would love to play online with.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing for me. So it's disappointing. I've been playing a lot of Little Big Planet this weekend in the beta. It's a lot of fun. There's not so much of a game there as it is an experience. I don't know if that's very cliche to say, but it truly is. I had a lot of fun, regardless of what it is. It made me smile. It made me laugh. And the stuff that people have been creating is just absolutely astounding. The time that they put in it. And what really sucks, and I hope they realize this, but the beta levels and stuff aren't going to be in the full game. They're not going to transfer over. So all their hard work, not going to be lasting much longer.
That's pretty bad, because I've heard a lot of buzz about things like the Shadow of the Colossus level that just sound really amazing.
Yeah.
And for someone who isn't in the beta, it's kind of depressing that I will never be able to see that unless they recreate it.
Yeah, one of the levels I kind of liked today was a recreation of Sonic Green Hill Zone 1-1.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they even made the checkerboard pattern and stuff on the side. It was really well done, so...
So how many Super Mario Brothers level 1-1 levels actually exist? Because that's something I'd like to hear.
It's kind of weird how the level browser works. They put a bunch in your face right away. You know, how good, depending on how good they are, things get kind of tagged, interesting, quick, fun. And the more tags they get and the more hearts they get, which is basically saying that you like the level, they kind of go on the front side of the world planet thing that you can pick levels from. But then what you can do is you can click the tag and it shows you other levels that are tagged that, and you can kind of basically hyperlink your way real deep into it. So I basically only played the levels that were the good ones. I didn't waste any time playing through the crap, basically.
So can you create your own tags, or are there preset ones you have to choose from?
I believe they're preset ones, yeah.
Gotcha. That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. We're going to have a preview up of it tomorrow with some video footage I took this weekend. So by the time you listen to this, it will be up. Go to the site and check it out. Are you back? Did you watch the video?
How was the video? Did it make you happy? Are you going to buy a PS3 just to play Little Big Planet?
I actually, one unique thing with the video is I found the original version of the Little Big Planet song. It's by I think they're a British group called the Go Team.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I've got I got their first album lying somewhere on my hard drive.
Yeah, so the version of the song I got is actually from a 2000, year 2000 album, and it's very garage band-y. So I thought it was kind of appropriate for the beta version, and I tagged that up onto it, and came out pretty good.
So, cool.
So the other game that had a delayed co-op mode is Fable 2, and that is the online co-op mode in that as well. We went over how this is going to work before, but basically there's going to be orbs floating around in your single-player experience, and these orbs represent your friends playing the game and where they are in the world. And at any time, you can kind of walk up to them and you can join their game or invite them to your game. And the bad news is, at launch, that's not going to be there. In fact, the only co-op it'll have at launch is local co-op.
Well, it's not going to be there at launch, but Peter Molyneux did say that he's going to try and have either a day one or a week one patch to throw it back in there. And... you know, he's known for over-promising and under-delivering, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that. But if he manages to get that patch out day one, I don't think there's going to be any negative damage done, really.
Yeah, then you don't even really realize it, because you fire it up, it has to download the patch, and you're done, right?
And you have to be online to play it anyway, right?
Exactly. So,
yeah,
if they can do that, bravo to them. You know, we did post up a Fable 2 co-op interview with Dean Carter, who is a lead designer on that game. And he talked about some of the cool features you can actually do with the online co-op. You can actually trade items right through the orb without even having to go into someone else's game. You can actually, you know, go up to the orb and you can offer an item up to trade and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
And from what I understand, that feature is actually going to be working even without the co-op patch. You'll still be able to see the orbs from the other players, and you'll still be able to do the item trading. You just won't be able to pull people into your game.
Oh, interesting. I did not read that, but that's good news. I think right off the bat, I'm gonna want to try and play through a lot of the single player anyway, without the, not that co-op is a distraction, but there's something to be said about a deep RPG and playing through it single player first.
I'd like to have a pristine world that only I affect before I let some random chucklehead from Xbox Live to pop in and ruin my day.
Yeah. I mean, they did say you can play through it from start to finish. It's designed that way. But you know, like I said, I like my single player experience sometimes. Just, you know, give me that fresh start and let's see what this is all about. In other Fable 2 news, the 1-2 punch for Fable 2 last it was the end of the previous week and then last week. The collector's edition of Fable 2 is not so collector's anymore. Basically, they removed a little figurine, five fate cards, and like a special box. It was $79.99. They dropped it to $69.99. Now the only thing you get is special character skins, I think, and behind the scenes DVD.
Every game out there is having a collector's edition, at least every AAA title. And, you know, they're competing for a very small portion of people that have the disposable income necessary to drop cash on something like this. So maybe they took a look and saw what other people are doing, like the Fallout 3 editions that had come with the alarm clock thing and the Gears of War Amazon bundle that comes with the Lancer replica. And they said, you know, maybe our game isn't going to sell so many collector's edition copies if these things exist. So I think they just maybe toned it back and thought a little more realistically about the idea.
Yeah.
Because Fable, while a strong selling title, is not going to put numbers up that Fallout 3 and Gears of War 2 are, as far as I think.
Yeah, I mean they attributed it to supply chain issues, and they said basically they're giving out I think it's Fable 1 soundtrack and then three or four tracks from the Fable 2 soundtrack for download for everybody. And that I believe starts tomorrow, actually. But yeah, when you have those, I'll admit, I'm an impulse CE buyer. I pre-ordered both the Gears of War 2 Lancer Edition bundle, the Fable 3 full thing with the alarm clock and all the, or the Fable 3 Fallout 3.
Fallout 3, yeah.
No, I did not announce Fable 3 on this show.
Well, maybe in the future you'll get to do that, but for right now you can lay off the crack and, tell the news as it is.
But yeah, so I pre-ordered both the day they were announced. I went to Amazon and I have Amazon Prime, so it was one click pre-order and I was done. But I think it was 2 weeks ago, I went back for the Gears of War 2-1 and said, "What the hell am I going to do with this Lancer thing?"
Give it away on the site.
Yeah, I could, but it's 130 bucks, and with all the collector's editions, I knew I wouldn't be able to afford it, so I just bounced back to the regular one on that. But the Fallout 3 one, I'm still hanging on to.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm a big collector's edition buyer. I like the extra content. As a graphic designer, I really like the packaging designs because since they don't have to have the Xbox or PlayStation or Wii branding or whatever tainting all the artwork, they get to really go hog wild with what they want to do, and I really enjoy seeing that. And I'm no stranger to the Uber editions either. I happen to have a Halo 3 cat helmet sitting proudly on my shelf, which actually at one point was placed on my cat. He didn't appreciate it, but it made for some funny photos.
Nice. You know, one game I'm surprised that didn't have a collector's edition. Well, maybe not so surprised. But Rock Band, you could do some really cool collector's edition kind of stuff with that. Granted, you're already paying $180 for it, but I
You
mean, you
know,
could have some tricked out guitar or something, some limited edition guitar with it, or.
2XL leather jacket for everybody that's playing the game.
Yeah, you know, something like that. They could do something really cool. They could come with like a mock bass drum or something that you can like draw your like band's logo on it and everything. And I don't know. You can do some really cool stuff with it. I'm surprised they didn't do anything.
I think the way they figured it is everyone dropped what was the original game, $160, $170, and you know, this year they're coming out with another box bundle with everything in it for $180 again, and they're probably saying, if we're going to ask people to drop this much money on a game, maybe we should just give them the game instead of the other stuff. And besides, they have all the premium instruments, like the that drum kit that was it, Ion is making.
That's true.
Is an actual electronic drum head that goes in and plugs in, and you can basically set it up how you would an electronic drum kit. So I think they're hedging their bets more with the peripheral makers rather than, you know, giving you some fancy trinket.
So the other Rock Band news, even though there was no collector's edition, is there's an AC/DC track pack coming, and it's exclusive to Walmart.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts, because I guarantee that's going to end up for download. There's no way that they will force people to go to Walmart to pick that up, because there are a lot of people that are just going to want to download it through the song store like they would normally.
Yeah, and as far as I know, it's not going to be available in the song store. You know, according to this, it's going to be a retail disc, it's Walmart pricing, $39.88.
Oh, jeez.
And the Wii version and PS2 version are going to be $29.88.
Yeah, I'm still standing by what I said. They can make this timed exclusive all they want, but these songs will end up on the song store.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it looks like there's about maybe 15 or 18 songs in the track pack. I see maybe 6 I'd like, so I'm not sure if I'd really be willing to drop the 40 bills on it.
Yeah, and I have, you know, over 200 songs sitting in my Rock Band playlist as is. I don't need to put so much AC/DC in there that's all that's going to come up on a random playlist, you know.
Did you import your Rock Band 1 songs?
I certainly did, and I am so glad that I did that.
See, I'm actually holding off on doing that until before this weekend. I plan on doing it for our Rock Band party, but the reason I didn't is because I want to make sure I get enough plays out of the Rock Band 2 content by itself. I want to make sure that, because, you know, it will insert those songs into random things. And I'm trying to keep the game as new and fresh as it can. I don't know, that seems to be my reason behind it.
Yeah, the reason I like it is because, you know, I play switching between hard and expert depending on how familiar I am with the song. And if I happen to be playing on expert or something, and I hit a random playlist, and it just populates with a bunch of songs, and they happen to be from Rock Band 1, I'm about 10 times as likely to fly through that than, you know, if someone drops a Mastodon track on my head and I have no idea what the hell to do. So, you know, and since my wife and my good buddy and I tend to be a trio, we're all pretty familiar with the Rock Band 1 stuff. We don't really want to hop back out and swap discs if we want to just play one of the tracks that we liked, so... You know, it's a convenience, but I really like it, and I hope that they continue to do it when that, you know, inevitably Rock Band 3 comes out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to do it. I plan on doing it. Holding off, I wanted to get the full experience of the Rock Band 2 songs.
Right.
So I think I just about have unlocked all of them now.
That's good. I'm getting pretty close. I was a little late to the party on Rock Band 2, but I'm starting to near the difficult stuff at the end of the world tour.
Good. So let's see, the other article we wanted to discuss was a bit of a rumor. It's not something confirmed, but about 2 weeks ago, actually it was about 3 weeks ago, it looked like another Halo 3 ARG started up, and ARG is an alternate reality game. Basically, this was huge before the original launch of Halo 2 with Isle of Bees.
Which was pretty intriguing, although now it's... That kind of stuff is starting to get old hat, if you ask me. Everybody wants to do it.
Yeah, they did it really well. I mean, they probably did it too well, and now nothing can compete with it, basically.
Right.
So, but basically what the whole thing led up to was an unveiling of a new trailer on Bungie's site. The trailer basically ended with what was the prepare to drop was the tagline. Mm-hmm. So we posted an article up from a social site. Basically, it was just some random user kind of went through Bungie's site and a few other information sources and put together what he thought was a good idea of what was coming out, and that was going to be a squad-based add-on for Halo 3, a co-op-based one, I should say. This is something that's been rumored for a while, that, you know, we wouldn't take the role as the Master Chief, but you'd actually take the role as USNC Marines in the game. But yeah, so it's going to be more of a Ghost Recon-style game, you know, strongly co-op-based and stuff. It's got a lot of potential, and I really hope it comes true, but I don't know. We'll see. What, did you watch the trailer?
I did watch the trailer, and I actually haven't gone through the article linked from our article, but I did notice in the background, you know, the city happens to be New Mombasa, which is the city you're playing in the first couple levels of Halo 2, and a lot of people were kind of pissed because, you know, in that game, you're fighting on Earth, and then you leave, but all the ad campaigns pointed to you fighting on Earth the whole time, so everyone was saying, hey, what happened back here? And if you watch carefully in the video, you can actually see that in the background, there's actually stuff in the city that's already on fire, like there's been fighting going on, and you can actually see the Covenant capital ship flying in the background, and when it does its jump to, you know, light speed or whatever that happened in Halo 2 is what causes the shockwave in the city this time. So it's intriguing, and Bungie's already shown that they really strongly support co-op play, so I look forward to seeing what they do with it. You know, even if it doesn't end up being a squad-based shooter and it's just, you know, you playing as a 2 to 4 characters in their own little campaign story on Earth during the events of Halo 2, I'd be pretty happy. I'd play that.
Yeah. One of the more interesting theories I saw was from Wombat from Cheap Ass Gamer and UGO. He thinks it's going to be a Halo racing game. And, you know, it's kind of funny. It's funny, but here's what he said. He goes, I went through the video and I grabbed a bunch of flickering headlines, and here's the ones that I pulled. Please remain calm. Yellow means yield. Expect delays. Pardon our dust. Proceed with caution. Road closed. Maddie, where are you? Obey posted limits. Danger flood zone. And keep it clean. And about, I don't know, 7 or 8 of those can definitely be racing related or driving related.
That's really stretching it. I think all that has to be is Bungie loves their AI characters back with if you ever played Marathon, the whole point of that game was, you know, between all the AI guys, and you have your Cortana and the Guilty Spark or whatever the floating orb thing is in the Halo universe. And this seems like They branded this little AI the Administrator, and it seems to be some kind of cheery little public administration drone that's just going haywire and spitting out random gibberish during the EMP that clearly takes place in this. So, well, I would love to see a Halo cart. I'm not entirely sure that that's what this is going to end up being.
Speaking of other Halo things, we posted over just this past weekend a new trailer for Halo Wars, the RTS from Ensemble Studios. And it's actually a cinematic from the game. Did you get a chance to watch it?
I didn't. I'm not a big RTS guy. And the fact that a long time, and this is me getting a little bit on a soapbox here, so pardon me, a long time PC developer, Ensemble, making, you know, Age of Empires, Age of Mythology, and what have you, they're getting closed after they make Halo Wars. And for, you know, someone like me who plays games on every platform, it's not as big a deal, but when you see like a really AAA PC developer get shuttered and the last thing they contribute to the world of gaming is a console RTS, that's just sad. And a lot of people are not very happy about it.
Not to come to their defense or anything, or it's not even defense is the right word, but not that I agree with them being closed, but I will say that what I played of Halo Wars at E3, the things that they've done with it, I think they really changed the way we need to think about an RTS on a console. Instead of trying to adapt a PC RTS for a console, instead build a... and again, this is freaking cliched, cliche number two coming from Nick on this show, but they really did build an RTS from the ground up that was for a console, and it worked really well, and I gotta say, I had a lot of fun with it. It plays more like an action game, and losing any of the depth, though, of an RTS, you still be able to upgrade units, and you're still doing base building, and you can still do, you know, a lot of things that you can do in an RTS.
Mm-hmm.
But they refined what makes an RTS great, and they really focused on that. I'm really sad to see them go. You know, they're a bunch of great guys over there. I've talked with a lot of them personally. I guess from what it sounds like, a lot of them are moving on to form another studio and then immediately partner with Microsoft. I don't understand that, but
I don't understand why they couldn't, if that's the inevitable goal of closing the studios, to take them out from directly under Microsoft Game Studios and just make them a first-party developer again, or second-party, I guess.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just pull what Bungie did and buy their, you know, get their company back and then just become a partner?
You know, there's got to be some kind of, like, corporate reasoning behind all this that has to do with, like, financials and stocks and shit that we just don't understand as a gamer, and that's why this is happening. And it looks really bad, but, like, to the stock market investors, it's, like, the greatest thing ever. And to the people involved, it really sucks, but that's what it is. And even though the names change, the parties involved actually don't.
Right.
I hope that's what happens. I hope that's the gist of it.
I hope it doesn't turn into another flagship studios where they basically say nothing's wrong, nothing's not wrong, nothing's wrong. Oh crap, the company's gone.
But I mean, one final note on that trailer. You know, Halo Wars, it is planned to have a cooperative mode in it. The trailer is gorgeous. When the Lich King trailer was released a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and you had shown me that, and you're like, wow, look what Blizzard did here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tell you what, the quality of this, it's really close. I mean, it's really, really good. Really amazing CG, the music, the lighting, and everything, just the way it goes. I mean, if you have any inkling, if you're any inkling of a Halo fan, check it out, and you're going to be like, ooh. One of those things, so.
I wonder who put it together for them, because I'm pretty sure that Ensemble farms out all their CG work. The reason I'm so impressed with what Blizzard does is they actually have an in-house CG team that puts those together.
Yeah.
Whereas you get a lot of developers, they may have some in-game cutscenes that are put together by them, but with engines being powerful enough to do, you know, cutscenes generated by the in-game engine, they oftentimes will take the big, huge, time-consuming, awesome CGI intro of Days of Yore and farm it out to a Hollywood studio or a studio that puts those together just for games. So it'll be interesting to see who ends up putting that together.
Yeah, definitely. So that's about it for the news we wanted to cover. We did want to talk a little bit about some of the great features we posted on the site the past 2 weeks, because we've had some really good, unique articles. One of the ones that we both put together, we went through Steam one night and we found all the cooperative games that were available on the service. If you don't know what Steam is, it's a PC download service for games. They have new games, old games, original games, priced anywhere from like $5 up to full price. But we found some classic co-op games and some recent release co-op games. We put together an article covering those.
Yeah.
So if you're at all interested in that, definitely check it out.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff that's up for co-op on Steam. You know, you have your Ghost Recons, and, you know, those were popular on the consoles, but there are good PC ports of them. You got your old school id Software shooters, so if you want to, you know, just get your frag on, you know, pick those up. And my personal favorite out of everything that's on Steam that's co-op is Titan Quest, because I'm a huge Diablo nerd, and since Diablo 2 and 3 were spaced so far apart, Titan Quest was a really good stopgap. Is, you know, for the time it was released, it was really graphically impressive, and they put a lot of physics effects to good use, and you basically run through and hack and slash your way to victory, and I really enjoyed it. So I think a lot of people that may have passed up on that would definitely like to test it out.
I'd like to pick up Hexen and Heretic again.
Mm-hmm.
From the id pack. I was a big fan of those games back in the day. unfortunately, like we talked about on the last Co-op the Cast, like with Descent, those are games that only support the IPX protocol. So it's tough to play with any friends over the internet or even a local network because nobody runs IPX, SPX.
Yeah, let me go through my old pile of PC hardware that I've Frankensteined other rigs together out of and see if I've got an old 486 lying around. Maybe we can...
I'm sure, you know, I bet you someone has an emulator or translator or whatever you need to go from IPX to TCP/IP through DOSBox and this and that. You know there's someone out there that took the time to figure it out and do it. So.
Layers upon layers of emulation.
Yep, exactly. So another interesting article we posted in the past 2 weeks was an interview with a developer from the Saints Row team. He's actually the lead designer, James Tsai. And we talked a bit about the co-op aspects of the game. This is another game that was designed from the ground up to support co-op. We even talked a bit about how that decision came to be in the interview. We talked about some really cool co-op moments. You got to read it because it has an airplane, an armored car, a rocket launcher, and everything else. So you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, they seem to be, you know, cranking all the silliness to 11 in that one, so...
Yeah, when I saw the video where you could put a hot dog suit on and run around on a motorcycle, it was like, okay, yeah, it's silly, but I'll take it.
Hey, you know, you shouldn't make fun of people who wear hot dog suits. Some people, you know, put themselves through college like that.
It's true. I wanted no offense to the hot dog wearing nation of our listeners.
Okay, just covering our bases.
Final article, or another article I wanted to talk about was a recently posted one by Jim McLaughlin. He writes our co-op couples features, or he's one of our writers of the co-op couples feature, and the title of it is awesome, and the article is awesome. The title is Tempted by the Loot of Another.
That's so great.
And it basically talks about cheating while playing co-op. And we've all been there where, you know, you got your buddy together, you spend a Friday night and you co-op three quarters of the way through a game, and then he's not around for a couple of days, but you really want to finish that game, so you find another co-op buddy and you play through it and kind of cheat on him. But in the case of the co-op couples feature, that other person, or the your original buddy is your wife.
Yeah. And,
so you got to live with it.
This happens in, you know, with all co-op, especially couples that co-op, it happens, but you'd be surprised how often this happens in MMOs. That is, you know, the very time-sucking aspect of that game means whoever has more time is going to be more tempted to just keep going, and you get a lot of people that roll an extra character up so they can co-op in, or they can play with their buddies and get away with it, so they have their one character that they're playing with their wife or their girlfriend. And then they have their other character that's 30 levels beyond that with all the, you know, the most awesome gear you can get because they have an extra 10 hours a day to put into it.
So luckily I don't have that problem. I avoid MMOs, and two, my wife doesn't play. So hey,
yeah, that's true. My wife and I play Rock Band together a lot, and we played some Castle Crashers, but she's kind of resigned to the point that I play a lot more games than she does, so she doesn't mind if I go and finish these, because sometimes she'd rather watch me play the end boss instead of tackling it on her own.
Yeah, and my wife said a funny thing to me the other day. I was playing something, and I said, oh, you know, you'd probably like this game, you should give it a try. And she's like, you know, I do like games. I go, yeah. She's like, you just hog all the time.
What was it that our friend Anjanette said at PAX? Is, you know, we were talking about women in games, and she says, you know, the best way to get women into games? Pass them the controller.
Yeah. And it's true. I guess I do hog all the time, so. But that is the Co-op the Cast for October 5th, our third one. If you didn't notice, there was only two of us this time. I hope you noticed by now, since you've gone through the entire thing.
Well, but, you know, we'd like to have, you know, three people when we can get it, but the internet connections weren't there for the evening, so maybe next time we'll have a special guest.
Yeah. And I promised myself that I would have a proper exit. I don't know, what's the word?
Outro.
Outro, there we go. A proper outro for the show. So this is the Co-op the Cast. It is from co-optimist.com, And thanks for listening. Okay,
Nick, take the out of your mouth.
Oh, and that's the problem. The in my mouth. Okay. No wonder I couldn't talk.